Mission to the Powerful, Commentary for the December 2nd, 2023 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Matthew 19, verses 23 through 26. Prosperity theology evangelists often become wealthy by preaching what the wealthy want to hear, that their wealth is proof of God's blessing on their lives, and that they, rather than the poor, will be the ones inheriting the earth. This may be pleasing to their ears, but it was never taught by Jesus. His overturning of the tables of the money changers in the temple demonstrated what he thought of those who saw religion as an avenue to wealth. While he never turned away the wealthy who would come to him, he also never reinforced the idea that they were somehow more blessed than others because of their wealth. When he sent his disciples throughout Judea to preach the kingdom of God, they bore no emblems of wealth or status as evidence of their authority to speak for God. They had only the clothes on their backs and the sandals on their feet. Despite that, some like to point to examples of wealthy individuals in the Bible as justification for a single-minded pursuit of riches. Job was a wealthy man, and even after his troubles, God rewarded him with even more wealth. Does that prove that wealth is an indication of God's approval of its pursuit? Those who think this overlook Job's character. Job saw his wealth only as an opportunity to help others. Because of this, God could trust him with the responsibility of wealth. Too many see wealth only as a stepping stone for more riches and as an opportunity to experience things in life that others will never know. For them, there will never be enough. The homeless person who shares their only can of soup with another is closer to the character of Christ. Thankful that they had enough to share, they gave of all they had to bless someone who had less. The wealthy leave their homes empty to travel the world, while many of the poor have no home at all. But the world often judges others by their wealth. The homeless man with a can of soup is of little worth because he made wrong choices about his life. The wealthy man jetting about the globe is of great worth because he made all the right choices. Nonetheless, God looks upon the heart, not the wallet. Some like to point to King Solomon's wealth as evidence of God's blessing on his life, but it revealed his true character and how far he wandered from a loving relationship with God and humanity. He compromised his faith to build upon his political power, even building pagan worship sites for his foreign wives. He also greatly oppressed his own people for his building projects. Wealth only increased his desire for power and control over others, and he corrupted his walk and hardened his heart to maintain all he had. In the end, much of what he managed to gather was taken from his son, Rehoboam, who had learned only harshness and ill treatment of others from his father. Another favorite biblical passage for those who preach prosperity theology is Isaiah chapter 61, especially the verse that promises beauty for ashes. But much of that chapter does not talk about the present. Apparently Jesus realized this, for he also quoted from the same chapter as endorsement of his ministry. But he stopped with the first part of verse 2. He knew that the vengeance Isaiah was talking about in the last part of that verse, was future, not present. for he had come not in judgment, but to save humanity. This indicates that the restorations promised in the rest of the chapter are after the day of vengeance, and therefore future as well. The intent of the chapter is not to encourage us to get wealthy as proof of our relationship with God. It is to encourage us to emulate the words of verses 1 and 2 that Jesus quoted. If we are not good news to the poor, comfort to the brokenhearted, freedom for those held captive, or light shining into the darkness of prisoners' lives, sharing the favor God has shown us with them, we have no right to expect any of the restorations promised later in the chapter, future or otherwise. Yet another passage favored in prosperity theology is found in John's third epistle. It is only quoted by those teachers of prosperity as it appears in the King James Version, as it better suits their agenda. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. 3 John, verse 2. They point to the word prosper as an indication that God wants his people to be wealthy, and we should claim it. But other versions of the Bible make clear the intent of the verse is different. For instance, in the New International Version, it reads, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." The verse is about health and wellness, not about wealth accumulation. Wealth is more a stumbling block for those who may wish to enter the kingdom of God than an endorsement of their suitability for that kingdom. Christ repeatedly drove home the point about the great impediment that wealth could be to salvation. Our opening verse is only one example. The parable of the rich man and Lazarus is another. Sadly, many preachers only see this parable as an endorsement of their view that people go immediately to heaven or hell when they die. Their confirmation bias about the state of the dead prevents them from seeing the point of the parable. The rich man was condemned because he was unwilling to relieve suffering, even at the slightest inconvenience to himself. There will be many who will also suffer on that day, who accumulated vast hoards of wealth on a planet where people die of hunger and exposure, living on the streets, despised and treated as though they were invisible by those with the means to help. The wealthiest among us fear walking those streets without armed escorts because they know what they are doing is wrong, and they fear being called to account for the injustice. While their wealth cannot follow them into the grave, the injustices they perpetrated in this life will. Then will be triggered the day of vengeance of Isaiah chapter 61, to be followed by the restoration promised for their many victims whom they have likely never seen. Their armed guards and security systems keep them from ever having to see the evil they have wrought by their greed. The church is not innocent in this, and by this I mean that because they do not preach prosperity theology does not mean they do not practice it. The vast streams of wealth that flow into the denominations of this world, especially the largest denominations, represent food, clothing, and shelter torn from the hands of those without. Every opulent church or temple is built upon the bones of the poor. While I cannot speak for non-Christian religions who also do this and what their writings teach, I can say that Jesus never told us to build such edifices. There is a valid argument to be made that we should be meeting in one another's homes, as the early church did. This would accomplish two things. First, it would eliminate the desire to build multimillion-dollar temples that only demonstrate our wealth while also condemning our characters for building temples to display that wealth instead of feeding, clothing, and housing the needy. Second, if we were meeting in one another's homes, we would be intimately aware of the needs of others, something we too easily avoid when we only meet on neutral ground. This may be why no one was in need in the early church. The need was obvious and was addressed. There is a way for the wealthy and powerful to find salvation, but it requires laying aside their power and their wealth and not endlessly accumulating even more. Too many get the love yourself part of Jesus' witness and not the love your neighbor part. Wealth is not an end. It is only a tool. Just as a carpenter or a mechanic can have a complete set of the latest tools, those tools are created for a purpose. And if they're not used for that purpose, they're unprofitable to fix or create anything. When a neighbor asks to borrow a tool, any desire to keep the tools unblemished and in like new condition should not hinder me from loaning to him whatever he needs. Many of us understand this principle, but for some reason, when it comes to wealth, we forget it. Jesus would have us remember, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Matthew 6:24. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, along with the footnotes giving the scriptures supporting the ideas in this podcast, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds more podcasts and written commentaries at that website, as well as articles and books written by the author. Once again, that's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.